This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hey, welcome to the show. Adam Ritz here with you. Jay Baker in studio with me. Jay, how are you?
I am doing great. It's great to be here in the Nerve Center, the studio. This is, I forget how nice studios are because I do the show part of the time from my home.
This is the epicenter of the public affairs universe, and we're covering some pretty cool stuff today.
Absolutely. This is, public affairs, it's for the greater good. And the public affairs arena, as you said, has been hopping lately.
Yeah, you know, a lot of philanthropy in Southern California with the wildfires. Several weeks back, we covered the Fire Aid music benefit that nearly every artist performed at, and the money raised for first responders and victims of the wildfires in the Los Angeles area. Well, here's another one, music-oriented for the people in Santa Barbara. This benefit is coming up on March 8th, Jay, so you have plenty of time to plan ahead, get your tickets, travel to Santa Barbara if you'd like to see these artists perform at a premier evening of music for mental health in Santa Barbara, benefiting the first responders of Santa Barbara. Here's the list. You ready? Kenny Loggins. I mean, I could just stop there. That's enough for me.
I was going to say, I'm you had me at Kenny Loggins.
That's enough for me. He's got one or two hits, I think.
I've heard,
And the other thing is, this article didn't mention this, but Kenny Loggins, I believe, does live in Santa Barbara. So this is sort of a backyard.
Yes.
I'm sure this means a lot to him to be able to help out in his own community. So Kenny Loggins, Hootie and the Blowfish, Michael McDonald, Alan Parsons, Toad the Wet Sprocket, and more. And I think, you know, I'm a fan of Yacht Rock. I know you are, too. You mentioned Michael McDonald and Kenny Loggins on the bill. I've got to figure out a way to get to this concert.
Yeah, that would be great. And as you said, there's more and more shows. I've got a couple here, too, that I want to throw on your list here in a minute. But I'm impressed and pleased that so many musicians have stepped up. Not just musicians, but anybody that, you know, that can make a difference. You and I know it's a little bit like, hey, you're going to go to a concert anyway. The need in Southern California is real. This is a very real event that's going to generate money for the mental health of first responders. Hey, spend that concert dollar at this show because you were going to go anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And the musicians are going, you were going to come and see me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't have to go to a casino in the middle of Iowa. Come here to Santa Barbara. The weather's great. We're going to have some fun, and we're going to earn some money.
Come out to the coast, have a few drinks, I think, as John McClane once said. So, yeah, we're really happy for these artists involved. And Alan Parsons, too. He's unbelievable.
Him.
One of the greatest engineers, music producers, who ended up having a lot of hits himself.
You know, super quick, because this may or may not connect with people that don't know this type of music. But one of Alan Parsons' very early projects, ironically, he worked in the same recording studio that Pink Floyd recorded Dark Side of the Moon, which many people consider to be one of the top five rock albums.
Or just album, right?
I mean, absolutely.
Highest selling
on the charts. Certainly one that had the greatest impact, if you will, because it certainly set the stage for what British rock and roll would sound like. And Alan Parsons was the audio engineer for that project.
I'm glad you told me that.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's just, he really is cool as all get out.
He's, we do, for the deep dive fans of the Adam Ritz Show, the public affairs juggernaut that this is, you may or may not know, I also host a show called Yacht Rock Radio. So, and if you're curious, you can check it out, yachtrockradio.com. We've got about 110 affiliates coast to coast, and we do play the Alan Parsons Project occasionally, even though he's not full-blown yacht rock, he is what we call yacht adjacent, and his songs from the 70s and 80s, they fit the boat perfectly, And I did know he had an enormous career as a music producer. I did not know he was the producer of Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah, it was. There's just so many great stories because he's this young guy, and the guys from Pink Floyd show up. And Pink Floyd, everybody could feel in the music world that, hey, Pink Floyd is this close to making it. I mean, they are going to become mega superstars.
Well, they're one of my, I'd say, top five bands of all time, Pink Floyd.
They're just so enjoyable to listen to.
Now, you did a large part of your career was in classic rock radio in the 70s and 80s. Did you ever have a chance to interview anybody from Pink Floyd?
No, but I feel a little bit bad. Somebody else in the building got to interview Nick Mason, the drummer.
The drummer.
I didn't get to talk to Nick on the air, but Nick is a collector of vintage race cars. So on one of the breaks, I poked my head in, you know, trying not to be too big of a fanboy.
And for our listeners, you need to know Jay Baker is a huge race fan.
I'm
sure you had a lot to talk about with him about racing.
Yeah, I just poked my head and just said, hey, admire what you do, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to sound too much like a fanboy because I know they've all heard it. But yeah, when you think to yourself, that was Nick Mason, the drummer of Pink Floyd. I mean, it's just cool as all get out. I just said that twice on the show, all get out. I do sound like a fanboy, but you are correct. There are certain bands where they have such gravity.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back, I would tell you that just poking my head in and saying something to Nick Mason, actually getting to interview Don Henley, who is notoriously one of the toughest interviews on the radio. He doesn't want to talk. I don't blame him. You're Don Henley. You don't have anything to prove. You don't need some wiseacre disc jockey asking you some questions.
Hey, why'd you name the band the Eagles?
Hey, Don.
Yes, go on. We called it the Eagles because that's what we wanted to call.
I'm sorry.
We'll be back after this. Yeah. So, you know, I feel like we need to give some love to Hootie and the Blowfish here. They're on the bill, along with Kenny Loggins, Michael McDonald, Alan Parsons, Toad the Wet Sprocket, and... I have an affinity for Hootie and the Blowfish because when I started my radio career is right when they exploded. I want to say it was 95 when their debut album came out. And along with Alanis Morissette, I'm going to get these facts conflated or closely wrong or right, depending on how you look at it. They had the highest selling debut album of all time until Alanis Morissette broke their record or vice versa. One of the two. With like five top five hits, maybe five number one songs. They didn't break Michael Jackson's records. But you go back to that first Hootie and the Blowfish album, there's six or seven songs on that record that still get played on the radio today.
Yeah, you forget, you know, that these guys not only were phenoms, but it's phenoms with longevity in there. I mean, Hootie and the Blowfish, a lot of people love that band.
And Darius Rucker, the lead vocalist, has a big career
in
country music. He does a lot of solo country music touring to this day. So, again, the mental health benefit concert, March 8th in Santa Barbara. It's benefiting the first responders through an organization called 1805. O-N-E, the word 1-805. So if you want to Google search 1-805 fundraiser, you'll find a link to get tickets to this show if you're so lucky to be able to be in the Santa Barbara area around March 8th. You want to help out and see a great night of entertainment. That's one of our – Jay mentioned it a few minutes ago. It's one of our greatest encouragements is use your entertainment dollar, stuff you were going to do anyway, to go do something that will go to a good cause.
Absolutely.
1805.org is the website, by the way. One, spelled out, O-N-E, 1805.org. Those are the numbers, 805.
Here's a slightly different take, hopefully with similar results. Sammy Hagar, Robin Zander, who's from Cheap Trick.
Sure.
Former Deep Purple bassist Glenn Hughes. Now, here's what's funny. I'm an old British rock guy.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Hughes is the coolest guy on the planet, and he's a survivor, meaning that not only did he play in Deep Purple's heyday, he's still here and still is a great contributor because this is the kind of thing that he loves to do. He's jumping in. these three great artists with all-star cover band Kings of Chaos for a performance Rock for Responders February 27th. They'll be in front of the Battleship Iowa at the Port of Los Angeles.
Well, that's pretty fantastic.
What
a great backdrop that'll be.
Yeah. Proceeds will benefit local first responders, highlighting their critical roles in ensuring community resilience and recovery. And here's the other shout out. This is a guy, he keeps giving. He grumbles a little bit, not about the giving, but about just life in general. Elton John's Academy Awards viewing party in West Hollywood on March 2nd will not only benefit his famous AIDS Foundation, but also to wildfire relief and recovery efforts due to the fires in and around Los Angeles. So Elton John, who's been a longtime California guy.
I just pulled this up. I hadn't heard of it till you mentioned it, so I'm glad you brought it to our attention. Some of the artists that are performing, like you mentioned, Sammy Hagar and Robin Zander from Cheap Trick. On the list is also Kevin Cronin from REO Speedwagon.
Oh, good.
And listen to this one. I don't know the gentleman, Brent Woods, but he is a performer and been on tour with Gene Simmons of Kiss.
Okay.
And listen to this band he's played with, Chevy Metal.
I love the name.
Is that a great name?
It's Chevy, a great name.
Chevy Metal.
That's great.
I'm sure they've gotten a cease and desist from the Chevrolet Motor Company or General Motors.
Very possibly. Absolutely. Here's kind of an interesting note. Adam, I think you were an early adopter to Spirit Airlines. You liked the fact that there was kind of a casual approach to things. You like to go to Florida at a moment's notice. We live near an airport where you can pretty much just hop on a Spirit Airlines, like almost like taking a cab.
Have I shared my Spirit Airlines experiences with you? Or I don't know.
You have shared some. I don't know any of the specific ones.
I'll let you talk and see where you're going with this. I won't share my experiences on the air. For fear of a defamation lawsuit, even though they are true, please continue.
Well, the reason why I bring this up, this may help those that have maybe had not the best experience on Spirit Airlines. They're going to introduce new rules for passenger dress codes and offensive tattoos. Now, when you hear this, you're going to say to yourself, possibly Spirit was allowing these individuals to fly, people who had body art that was lewd, obscene, or offensive. It also applied to passengers who are inadequately dressed. Adam, you probably have seen a passenger or two, which you thought to yourself, why did they leave home wearing that? Spirit is now saying, no more see-through clothing. You got to be adequately covered. And if you're exposing parts of your body, stay at home. The budget airline has previously banned barefoot passengers. I'm not bringing this up to make fun of Spirit, because once again, I will say, and I know you've got some stories, not all of them very positive, but I do love just going to the airport and flying safely and casually. But can you imagine somebody getting on an aircraft barefoot? It's bad enough if they take their shoes off after they boarded, mm-hmm. but they boarded barefoot. Apparently, they had to ban it at one point.
That's the point here, Jay. You're telling, if that's their new policy that you have to have shoes on, that means that enough people have gotten onto their planes without shoes that they had to have a meeting about it and make a rule.
You have to say to yourself, this is an America that I wasn't prepped for, when you think about a gentleman jumping onto a major airline carrier. Without their shoes.
Now, maybe they just sped through security. You have to take your shoes off, and they left them at TSA. Maybe thousands of people have done that on Spirit Airlines, and that's the excuse.
That could be the excuse.
Probably not.
Yeah. At any rate, thought that was interesting. So, yes, if you've had some experiences in the past, hopefully that will change. Here was a story. I kind of waited to see if this is true or not, just because it sounded like such an abrupt departure from their previous policy. But apparently no more bathrooms and Wi-Fi for non-paying customers at Starbucks.
Hmm.
They have altered their policy. before, I had to admire their benevolence, even if it would occasionally backfire, in saying, hey, look, there's certain individuals, they may not have access to a clean restroom. Check. I always thought, too, we used to call them the aspiring screenwriters. You know, it's really important to put your resume together or put together something that required Wi-Fi. It was nice to be able to go into the climate-controlled Starbucks and take care of what you needed to take care of. But, of course, you didn't want to have that guy that for 6 hours while sipping the free water, he's writing the next War and Peace or, you know, Goodfellas.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a in the world of hospitality and restaurants, there's a square footage rule. I don't exactly know what it is, but you want to have a certain amount of tables with a certain mm-hmm. amount of turnover, and you need to make money per square foot through the 12-hour day. And if you're looking at the square footage of a Starbucks with people sitting in there for hours on end and they've only spent $4 on one drink, that's not a good square footage per customer,
right,
per price point to keep the doors open, even though there's people flying through the drive-thru spending hundreds of dollars at a time. I don't know what the rule was, but you're saying there's a new rule that you must be a paying customer to use the bathroom or the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it said customers will be required to buy something before being allowed to access the bathroom and or the Wi-Fi. As a consolation, those customers who do buy something and decide to hang out for a while will be offered free refills on coffee drinks. Now, I don't know if that's every coffee drink.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a latte drinker. Does it, you know, so with my pinky up in the air, but if I got an extra latte for sitting around, I'd like that. I don't know to what extent you get refills, you know.
I think a good rule, if you're going to sit there for 6 hours, every hour you should go buy a cake pop.
Oh.
That way you keep them off your radar, and then you get a cake pop every 60 minutes.
See, there you go.
Do you have bathroom usage guilt when you pull into a, let's say, a McDonald's? Mm-hmm. You're on a road trip. You have to go. You know they have clean bathrooms. You know where they are. They're in the same hallway in every single one in America.
Right.
You know where to park and just slide in, use the bathroom. Do you have guilt where you feel like, I better get at least a small French fry?
I have not been able to use a McDonald's restroom without buying at least a small Coke and or a small French fry. Because, like you said, you want to pay them back,
yes,
even if it's just you, because you're so grateful. There's
I do that.
Yeah. You know, I used to do a lot of stuff for convenience stores, and I really feel for the convenience store industry because many of them have great clean restrooms. And there's a huge convenience chain in our town that I'm heavily reliant. My bladder is the size of a donut hole. So trust me, I never get too far away from said convenience stores. However, I still feel like I need to buy a power bar or something,
yeah,
on the way out, because I'm grateful that store had a clean restroom.
Even though in the course of my life, I've probably spent about $800,000 at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
And it's certainly not going to hurt them to let me use the bathroom and flush and wash my hands. They'll make it back on me the next week when I get $18 worth of fast food. I still have to stop and get at least an ice cream cone or a small fry when Melissa has to use the bathroom and I don't. We'll go in, we'll park, yep, I'll go in, she goes to the bathroom, I go get an ice cream cone.
Well, it's funny too. If nothing else, it makes you hyper aware of the least expensive items on their menu.
Right.
You could get 4 McNuggets for quite a long time, and those were greatly reduced. And I always thought they were tasty, and you're popping them in your mouth, and then later you're going, you're eating fried chicken. You know that, don't you? Yeah, I know. But it's $1.89.
So I just had this conversation with a buddy of mine last week who was driving down south. He said, hey, can I call you back? I'm stopping in a Buc-ee's.
Oh, Buc-ee's.
He said, I got to use the bathroom. And these are by far the best convenience store bathrooms you've ever been in. And I've been to one Buc-ee's in my life. I was on a road trip to New Orleans, and we're driving through Alabama, saw a Buc-ee's and went, not because we needed gas or had to use the bathroom. I just heard so much about them, and it truly is an amazing scenario.
Did you see an unbelievable setup. The wall of snacks?
The wall of snacks, the middle island of sandwiches. The bathroom is the cleanest room on planet Earth. It is so well maintained, and I was marveled at the artwork. They had artwork for sale throughout the store. You know, a nice American landscape or an American flag that you know somebody painted, and it was for sale. You can buy it right there in Buc-ee's, put it in your car, and take it home and hang it up in your house. That same artwork was for sale in the bathroom. So, as you're driving through America, if you're not familiar with Buc-ee's and you see one, even if you don't have to go. Stop in there and use
the
bathroom.
Stop in, yeah.
And then buy something on the way out because you're gonna love their snacks too. Okay, that was an unpaid endorsement of the Buc-ee's corporate chain. Back to where were we? Starbucks.
We were at Starbucks. But yeah, that's kind of an interesting turn for them. I've always kind of appreciated their attitude of benevolence, but you raise a great point when we talk about the greater good. If you want the businesses that you love to stay in business, you have to realize that their altruism may cause you to lose that particular branch, if you will, of that company because the company can't sustain that model.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, just food for thought. And if your update and your resume and it takes you more than 6 hours,
get a cake pop.
Yeah, get a cake pop. Help them out a little bit. You'll get to use the Wi-Fi bathroom if you need it. Here's kind of an interesting story that came up this week. You know, after the first of the year, there's a lot of resolutions. People take into consideration their health, but they also want to do well at work. You know, there's more of a demand for workers to come in. My particular spouse had a job where they literally said to about 90% of their office workers, no, please don't come in. We're dealing with COVID. We're dealing with this. We're dealing with that. And as we move things around, the real estate you were sitting in may or may not be available. So keep working from home. Mm-hmm. But even that company has had the pressure of, hey, you got to come into the office. You and I know being in the office makes you a little more visible. So I thought this was a great story. There are some things that you need to do after work to boost your productivity because you'd think, well, I need you to tell me a story of how I can be Mr. Boosted Productivity at work and what I need to do to prep at home. Most of the prep at home stuff is you need to recharge and refuel. And that starts with the hours after work. So how you spend the evenings after work are critically important.
Okay.
They are saying now, these guys, the experts, doing even more work once you get home seems like it will help, but all you're doing is make it more likely to experience burnout and then lower your job satisfaction. It's difficult to be committed to a job you don't like anymore. Mm-hmm. So be careful of that. A lot of people stay on top of work notifications. I love my wife, but she can't help herself. If she hears her work phone ding in the next room, she's up and at 'em.
Yeah.
And that interrupts the Hallmark movie we're watching. So
for sure.
I got to be on pause right when we're getting to the sappy end. And now I've got to listen to someone's work notifications. The best part is I know nothing about her job, and I've kept it that way. It's been great for our marriage, by the way, because I know nothing, because I can offer no opinion whatsoever. Mark, can you believe that Sally? Yeah, I didn't even know you worked with a Sally, but yeah, you're right. Whatever you just said, that goes double for me. It's worked great. By the way, if you were wondering how well it works great.
Oh my gosh, you're like
I feel
Peterson
for Sally
with Vera. I don't, you know. So that's a tough one because you want to be helpful to yes. your department, your employer, and you want to be first in line for a promotion. And if that means, hey, you know what, they're very attentive, they answer notifications when I send right. it, no matter what time of day. So on one hand, you could argue stay on top of your work notifications. But on the other hand, there's a safe boundary.
Yeah.
You know, I work for you between these hours, and when I'm home, I don't work. This is my life. So you got to find that boundary, that balance, and figure out how to play it.
Well, I think people that know you really well know that your clock runs like 3 hours later than everyone else's clock. Like, I never expect any email or anything from you prior to 10:30 in the morning. Is that an accurate
That's
time?
That's very accurate.
But I also know that if you send me something at 6:30 at night, unless someone is going to lose a hand, I probably will ignore it, not because I don't love you, but I just think, that can wait.
It can wait.
And that's what workers probably need to train themselves, is that shutdown time is important. So you're right. I'm a little bit on the fence. I don't think a boss would send something out at 6:30 at night and ask, why didn't you respond to that and react to that? And I think a boss would say, hey, they'll see that first thing in the morning.
But Jay, what if there is a client lost because of that 6:30 p.m. text that wasn't taken care of?
Then that text should probably be followed up by a phone call that says, I'm really sorry to do this to you, my trusted coworker, but if you and I don't work on this together, we'll lose a client, and I don't want to hear about that, and I bet you don't either. So I think if you couch it like that. Now, if you do that every night,
so Jay,
that might cause job burnout.
What I'm hearing here is the next time I text you at 7 p.m.,
yes.
you better damn well answer it.
Well, I'm watching Hallmark, and I'm listening about Sally from my wife's office, who I know nothing about. I don't even really know where she works. That's that. Now, that's you, where you can really save and maintain
your marriage.
You're the
real-life Norm Peterson with your wife, Vera. No one's ever seen her.
No one's ever seen her. This could hurt you if you don't have an activity to transition out of work mode. It can be just something as simple as changing your clothes, lighting a candle, just getting your feet up in the air. Do something that will shift you into a more relaxed state. So that's something that will really help you. Don't overload your evening with other tiring tasks. You know, sometimes you'll be at work and you think, man, I've got to get all that laundry done. And then I've got to pack for that trip. And then I've got to be the one that's in charge of snacks for that kid's sporting event. And, you know, all that stuff piles up. And that helps, unfortunately, makes it so you might not unwind after your work.
Sometimes your home life, that honey-do list can be more daunting than the office. There's occasions where I'm at work and I don't, it's not that I don't want to go home, but I know when I get home, there's all kinds of stuff I need to do. After the holidays, there is a lot of work and effort it takes to put away all the holiday decorations.
Well, heck yeah.
And I don't even want to take down the Christmas tree yet, so I'm going to stay at the office longer, because I know I got to do that when I get home.
Right.
So I do like your advice to when you get home, do a cultural shift. Change your clothes.
Yes.
Light a candle.
Mm-hmm.
Do something that makes it very evident that you're no longer at work in work mode.
Right.
Because you're going to have to do that tomorrow.
It just helps. So, yeah. So they're basically saying, if you can kind of divide this, realize that you cannot be super job person, super home person, that you really have to compartmentalize. And the number one tip they are giving is do not deprioritize. Wow, what a word. Deprioritize your sleep routine, which basically means everybody has a routine. But if you say to yourself, I can't really go to bed tonight at 10 o'clock as I usually do because I'm working on this work project, your sleep is the number one essential to productivity, performance, memory, creativity, and energy levels. So don't ever think that you can trade sleep and then still be creative.
Very good
you
advice,
gotta
Jay
sleep,
Baker.
So.
I'm looking forward to, even though I enjoyed this broadcast with you today, I am looking forward to going to sleep later tonight. And it's not because of you or anything you said. Thank you to our listeners for joining in with us today. If you want to learn more about what we do and get in touch through social media, all those links are on our website, adamritzshow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.